love it. And I want to take a few moments today and I want to talk to you about how you can have happy days. I don't know about you, but maybe I do. I think every one of us long for happy days. Do you long for happy days? Come on, are you here? I long for happy days. I want great days. And anyone remember this sitcom that we just made reference to? Happy Days. Now, I know for some of you who are a little younger, maybe you don't relate, but I want to tell you it was one of my favorite TV shows, and I remember the Fonz. How many of you remember the Fonz? And his hair, and his comb, and his girlfriends, and of course, Richie Cunningham, Mr. Clean Cut. And then what about Mr. C, and we can't forget Ralph Mouth. It was a great program. And what I liked about it, you didn't have to worry about your head getting all messed up with a bunch of garbage and immoral things. It was just good, clean, fun entertainment. Amen? Thank God for happy days. Now, the Bible says that it is possible to have happy days. And that's what this message is about today. I'm going to teach you how you can have happy days. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. You have a Bible, you can turn there this morning, but I want to read it. He says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, notice what he says, many happy days. Here's what he says. Keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. Here's a wonderful promise. It says, the eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. His ears are open to their prayers, but the Lord turns his face against those who do evil. Now these verses say that there are three things that we must do if we're going to have happy days and enjoy life. Not only does God want us to have happy days, but He wants us to enjoy our existence right now. Amen? Now I say this from time to time, and I really believe this before I discuss these three things with you. I don't believe any of us are an accident. I don't believe anyone within the sound of my voice today is an accident. I don't believe it's an accident that you live in the time that you live in. I know some of you, I hear people say, oh, those were the good old days, and I understand that. I know if you were around in the 50s in the music, those were the good old days to you. But let me tell you, it's not an accident that you're alive, and I'm going to say well and happy and enjoying life today. How's that for a positive confession? Here's the first thing that you got to do if you're going to have a happy life. Number one, he says, you keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Now, there's an old saying. Haven't heard it in a long time, but it's still around. It says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How many of you have ever heard that? Let me see your hand. Most of you. How many of you know that nothing could be further from the truth? How many of you know that now? If you don't know that, maybe I can help you just a little bit today. But we've heard that. Nah, 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 nah. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words are never going to hurt me. Not true. Words absolutely carry power. The Bible says this, that words are so powerful that they can carry the promise of life and or death. That's the words that we speak every day. And in just a moment, I think you'll be reminded of that. Some of you maybe you don't realize this. That's what Proverbs says. The words that I speak on a daily basis and on a moment-by-moment basis carries either life or death. Now, do you want me to describe that? You know, when you think about happy days, you think about good, happy, enjoyable moments in life. What do you think of when you think about death? It's not a very encouraging thought that you have. Being a preacher, I think of sitting here preaching a service with a casket in front of me and people sitting out here crying. Death is not a good thing. But we have the ability every day and in every situation to either speak death or to speak life. God says this, that our words are so serious that we'll give an account for every idle word we speak. Matthew 12 and 36. Every idle. You know what that word idle means? That word idle means every God-uninitiated word that I speak, I'm going to give an account for it. That's the reason we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, listening to the Holy Spirit, and thank God for His grace when we don't measure up. No one speaks perfectly in this life. But God says our words are so serious, we're going to give an account for every idle, uninspired, ever Holy Spirit-inspired word that we speak. Now listen to this. God is so offended by lying, He says this. Liars will be cast into the lake of fire. You find that in the book of Revelation. Now, I'd say that this means we should really consider our words. Lying offends God to the degree that He says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Now, that scares me. That means that I better not be twisting the story. How many of you know you can tell a lie by only telling half of the story? That's usually how it goes. You tell your version of it, but you don't tell the other person's version. That's a lie. You know, sometimes we're good at that. Lying is offensive to God. Twisting the story the way you think it ought to be. Now, I'm going to apologize before I do this. I thought my mother was going to be out of town this week, so Mother, forgive me. But when I was growing up, and I'll just turn this way so I can't see the look. I mean, you know the look. Her sister had knee surgery, and I understood that she was going to be there, but she's here today. But she's got a good sense of humor. Don't worry about Mom. Look at me. You see, when I was growing up, if you said something you shouldn't say or you spoke back to my mother, let me tell you, if you spoke back to my mom, there were consequences. And on a few occasions, I don't know that it worked, my mother tried this method of cleansing me of those words that you are not supposed to speak to your mother. Mother, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I think you do. She would take a bar of soap and she would wash my mouth out. Forgive me, Mom. Thank God with the brain. Now, okay. All right. Now, you got to realize, those of you viewing this, I got family sitting over here and they heckle me sometimes, and sometimes they support me. Sometimes, no, they always support me. It's interesting. I've got this written down here. I couldn't remember. The brand that we used then was Safeguard, and I've got a / Dial soap. There was a phase in my life where I just loved Dial soap. How many of you remember Dial soap, the orange bar of soap? Come on, I'm not picking on my mom. Relax now. Everybody got uptight. Mom's okay. Let me just tell you, I'm not going to listen anymore. I think I deserved it. Now, how many of you ever had that done? There was a phase where that was okay to do, and you got your mouth washed out, and then the bubbles came out. Blah, 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 blah. I knew my mother's intentions were well, but you know, hey, if you don't get filled with the Holy Spirit and let Jesus take over your tongue, guess what? You're going to say things every day that you don't need to be said. I don't know if God's got some spiritual safeguard or dials up. I don't know. But my brother sitting over here said it was Safeguard soap. So Safeguard it is. If you use Safeguard, y'all hush up. If you use Safeguard, it safeguards you from saying things you don't need to see. Say. Now let me be serious for a moment, folks. If I were to be honest with you, many of the words that are spoken on any given day probably should not be spoken. Why? Because Ephesians 4:29 says, don't use foul. Hey, I'm going to talk about this maybe if the Lord lets me. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Now the reality, what we fill ourselves with, that's what's going to come out. But let me tell you, our world needs somebody to be speaking some encouraging words around us every day. Amen? That's one of the things we encourage in small groups. We hear enough stuff and this foul language. How many of you know it is just cool to use foul language now? I am astounded, and I'm sorry, we're going to talk about it. The F word now is cool. The F word is just, I mean, you're just really not cool on television if you don't just give a good dose of the F word. Young people, let me just tell you, you don't have to use vulgar and foul language to be a success in this life. Can I just say that? And older folks as well. But now he's saying, don't use foul or abusive language. Abusive language is anything that's kind of, you know, and we're all guilty of this, you know, just belittling somebody. I heard of a little boy the other day that's got a particular jacket that he wears that he happens to like. And he was telling me, he said, my friends make fun of my jacket. And I tried to teach him, well, that doesn't mean you need to have a throw down at the schoolyard. Just love them. I said, kids can be mean, can't they? He said, yes, they can. Kids can be mean using foul and abusive language. But folks, what we need to do is we need to ask ourselves, Are the words that I'm speaking, are they encouraging to the people around me? And we need to ask that before we speak them. We don't need to speak them and then analyze, okay, did that edify or did it not? See, this is one of the problems with our society at the rate that we're moving through life. And you know, just as myself and Jim were talking about this week, just living a tapped out life. In other words, there's no reserve. We just say whatever, whenever, however, because we're moving at such a fast rate. We don't have time to think about what we're saying. But folks, listen. Your words have the ability to either speak death or, on the other hand, speak life. And that is what God wants us to do. And He's certainly given us some scripture here to tell us that we need to watch our words. Not only is this true of our fellow man, now you tune in and listen to me today, this needs to be true of our own lives as well. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because James chapter 3, verse 6 says this. It says, "And the tongue is a flame of fire." Now you listen. "It is a whole world of wickedness." The tongue. Folks, let's be real this morning. Our tongues speak that which fills our hearts. That includes me as well. You say, "No, I don't really believe that in my heart." And yeah, every now and then maybe you get angry, you get upset, and you say something that's not really in your heart. But let me tell you, our day-to-day conversation and our day-to-day language is a revelation of our heart. We're not what we say we are in that sense, but we are what we say. You know, I like to think a lot of things about myself that, if I really get true and honest, are not really true of myself. We need to be speaking encouraging words to our friends around us. But not only that, we need to understand that our tongue is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting, it says, going on and reading, it says, corrupting your entire body, your physical body. I know this seems strange to some people, but folks, let me tell you, I believe when you're sick, it's okay to say, "I can't be at work, I'm sick," or whatever the point is. But man, what you need to do from that point on, rather than keep corrupting your mind, I'm just sick all the time. Don't do that. He says, you are affecting your whole body. There's a time to be real, and there's a balance to this confession thing. But once we realize we're sick, from time to time, we need to say, "By His stripes I am healed." Amen? And if you're going to go to the doctor, on the way to the doctor, you know, don't wait till after the doctor speaks death over you. Speak it on the way. Say, "By His stripes I'm healed." Amen? That's good preaching. And it's good advice. I go to doctors. But I want to tell you, they're not the first place and final authority in my life. Jesus Christ is, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says, "By His stripes I am healed." Amen? Amen. You can speak life or death over your own body. And He says this. Here's the last part of the verse. It can set your whole life on fire. And here's the reason why. For it is set on fire by hell itself. This thing of the tongue, it's pretty real. Now don't, some of you are going to start, you know, doing that shame. I don't know who's speaking bad words or not. Just keep looking at me. We all stumble in this area. In fact, James says it. He says, who is the person who doesn't stumble with their tongue? He said, he's a perfect man. In other words, he's fully mature. I am not there yet. But I realize that my words carry great power with them. I can either use them to speak death or life, over my friends, over my kids, over my grandkids, over my community, you know, and the same with my own life. So he says, if you want to see happy days, if you want to see many happy days, learn to see the connection with the words you speak that have a great deal to do with whether or not you have a happy life or not. Number two, he says, if you want to see happy days, he says, turn away from evil and do good. What is evil? We have no evil people or evil tendency people in this church. I can tell you. We don't. What is evil? Now, I'm going to give you a broad definition of evil. And it's going to be so broad, it may not make a lot of sense to you. But evil, from God's definition in context, is anything that I do that breaks His spiritual, physical, or moral laws. That's what God calls evil. Now, you know, most Christians say, I'm not an evil person. No, you're not an evil person, but you have evil tendencies. Why? Because you have a fallen nature. And the way we would answer it, have you ever broken any of God's laws? His moral laws, or His spiritual laws, or His physical laws? Have you ever done that? Well, God says that if we want to see happy days, we got to be on guard against that. And again, you know, I can just tell you, this has a whole lot to do with our relationship to the Holy Spirit. What is evil? Well, obviously, speaking negative, corrupting words is evil. We've already established that. If lying can cause one to spend eternity away from God in the Gehenna fire, I would think that that constitutes evil. How about this one? Having unforgiveness in our heart for another person. I believe that this is evil. Why do I believe it's evil? Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother from your heart, you won't be forgiven by him of your own sins. I think unforgiveness is destroying more people today than any other sin, vice, or anything that we talk about. I believe it's at the root of a lot of problems, and it never really gets dealt with, but I believe it is evil. I would say that unforgiveness constitutes evil. How about this one? Having pride in one's heart. Believing, here's the essence of pride. You believe that you are better than your fellow man. Oh, you may talk like you believe in your fellow man, and you may talk like you like your fellow man, but in reality, your actions show that you really don't like your fellow man. You really think you're better than your fellow man. Or here's another form of pride. From pride is believing that you really, and we're seeing this in our nation today, you really don't have a need for God. You don't have a need for God. Listen, let me go on a little further. Pride has to do with and this has to do with your actions. I'm learning as I've been preaching a while now. A lot of people say a lot of things. Your actions are your words. Your actions are what's really in your heart. Saying that I don't need the body of Christ, that I don't ever have to connect with the body of Christ, and that I don't ever have to come to church to be a good, sold-out Christian. Now, I understand people get discouraged, but I'm talking about this pride issue that says, I don't have to attend church, and I don't have to connect with other believers. That is a pride issue. That is saying, I can do this without God, and I can do this without God's people. No, we can't. I would say that constitutes evil. But if the truth be known, and we were to be honest with ourselves, each of us knows what God is tagging as evil or sin in our hearts. You know what? Most of the time, now let's be real. Usually, when you're in a moment where God is moving or doing something, or God's messing with you just a little bit, maybe in a service, you're kind of in the back of your mind, you're thinking about what that thing is. How many of you know that's your conscience bringing that up to you with the help of the Holy Spirit? It comes up in your mind or in your heart, and you're thinking, is that evil? Well, I think it probably is if God's reminding you of it. But they say on television, everybody's doing it on television, and all the commercials say that it's okay, but God says it's evil. God says it's evil for you because you are breaking His physical laws for your life, and His spiritual laws, and His moral laws. Beloved, you know what we have to do if we want happy days? We've got to turn from evil. And we've got to recognize evil for what it is. The prophet Isaiah, well, it got real quiet then. We got one amen then. The prophet Isaiah says that there will come a day, and I believe he's making reference to the last days when mankind will call evil good and good evil. Here it is in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. It says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Here's what else he says. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now listen to me, beloved. This is exactly what we are being told today. That what at one time was considered evil and what is still considered evil in God's Word, we're being told it's okay. That we just need to modernize our thinking. We're being told, listen, I didn't intend on talking about it. We're being told, and I love all people, we're being told that it is okay to be homosexual. We're being told that it's okay that you were born that way. That is not what the Bible says. I want the young people to listen to me. Being gay is not normal and it's not good. God has a better plan for you. All you have to do is go to medical science and study what medical science says happens to your physical body when you're involved in a homosexual act, particularly, and I've said enough there, the harm that it does and what happens. Just go to medical science. You don't want the Word of God? You don't want to listen to the preacher? These things are still evil. Man, I'm telling you, it's what the Holy Spirit will do. He'll sneak up on my backside, and then, you know, if I'm going to be true to what He says, let me tell you, guys and gals, fornication is still wrong. Fornication is still evil, and God said fornicators aren't going to heaven. What's fornication? It's sexual relationship out as part from marriage. Got to be careful what preachers I listen to before I come here, too. Some of them fire me up. God loves every one of us. I'm not saying that any of these sins are not forgivable. I'm not saying that any of these sins can't be washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm telling the Holy Spirit, saying, there's one more I want you to talk about, and I'm trying to move on. Usually I'm the one tearing, and the Lord's saying, move on. Today He's saying, there's one more I want you to mention. How many of you know adultery is still wrong? Adultery is still evil. It's wrong. And if you really want to know what it is, go to your Bible and look at it. All these things are wrong. But the reality is, I may sit here and get out my top 10 list, but I may not tag what it is that God is saying evil in your life. Maybe you're staying up too late watching movies. You're not getting enough rest. You're not a good productive employee. Maybe God's tagging that as evil in your life. I mean, I could get the preacher top 5 list out, and then if I was really going to do the top 10, and you might say, "Whoo, I'm clear and free. I hadn't broken any of those." But it's up to the Holy Spirit to tell us what is evil in our eyes. But we better be careful today what we hear about evil. I mean, if you're watching many TV programs today, you're being told using foul, abusive language is all right. In fact, it's cool. And hey, come on, don't be so old and set in your ways. That's just outdated. Don't you buy that. Don't buy it. And all these other things. So I'm not going to write my top 10 list, but this I do know. God's Word is His moral compass for our lives. And if you'll make a habit of studying God's Word, and you will regularly and consistently do it, even on the days when you don't get goosebumps, which is most days, even when you're having a little trouble concentrating on reading God's Word and studying it and staying into it, let me tell you, if you will do that on a regular, consistent basis, let me tell you, you will know what God requires of you. You will know what God wants to enable you to do. You'll know His moral laws. You'll know His physical laws. Nobody have to preach to you. You'll understand these things. Now let me be very clear before I move on. Because some people don't hear the rest of what I'm saying. They just hear, I'm just a bad person. I'm a sinful person. Who isn't? Who hadn't committed sin? John says, who is the person who had never committed sin? It's not about who has and who hadn't. But it's about understanding that God has these safeguards in our lives to protect us. Young people, listen to me. It's about protecting you. It's not about depriving you of some good pleasure in life. It's about God's good days and happy days for your life. I could get people up here right now, spontaneously get up here and say, you listen to what he's saying. I did so and so, and I thought there was going to be some great benefit from it, and I thought there's going to be some great blessing from it, and I have nothing but heartache and sorrow right now. But let me tell you this, God also wants to take the heartache and the sorrow, and He wants to use it for His good. Are you hearing me today? The best plan is to know what God's Word says and stay away from these things. God's Word will tell us what is evil and what is wrong. Psalms 119, verse 9 says this. It says, if a young man will know and keep his word, it will keep him from sin. Young men, start out knowing the Word of God. And when you fail, if you sin, go immediately to God and confess that sin and believe God to forgive you. Now, the second part of this verse says this before I move on to my final point. It says that you must do good versus... how does it read? It says the second part of this point... Feel like one of those candidates right now. The second part of this point is that you are to do good. Right? I forgot that third point, by the way. I don't even know what it is. You got to choose to do good. Amen? You make a choice. I'm going to do good. Doing good is a choice. And folks, at some point, doing wrong, doing bad, doing sin, doing evil is a choice. Now, the problem is, once we get in that thing, then the devil's kind of got some influence over us, and he's got us on a hook and says, boy, you're going to do what I say, do what I say. No, let me tell you, through the blood of Jesus and through His resurrection life that dwells in you, there is no sin that is more powerful than God. Amen? You may need to talk to a friend. You may need to confess that to some folks, but let me tell you, and make sure you confess it to good, strong believers, amen, who will love you and it'll encourage you. But I'm telling you, you break the power of sin in your life, and it is a choice, and it is a process, and God will enable you, amen? If you want to have happy days, number three, he says, you need to search for peace and then work to maintain it. Search for peace. That means that peace doesn't always come easy. Can we agree on that? But he says you're to search for peace and you're to work to maintain it. Why? Because let me just tell you something, folks. Peaceful people are a whole lot healthier. Peaceful people are a lot more enjoyable to be around. Peaceful people have happy days. And they have a lot more of them than people who are not peaceful. I think that's kind of self-explanatory. But what is the peace of God? The Bible says in Colossians 3:15 that we are to allow the peace of God to rule our hearts like an umpire. That's literally what the original translation says. We just saw the All-Star game in the World Series. And how many of you know the umpire? Hey, he'd call something a strike. He'd call it out. But a better analogy would be we're to search for God's peace and we're to let God's peace rule in our hearts like a GPS device. Thank God for GPS devices when they are working. Amen. I have found there are some that work better than others, you know? In other words, the peace of God, the reason we're to search for it and we're to maintain it, the peace of God is really what guides us. But people are living such radical lives today. They don't even know what the peace of God is. The peace of God will tell you, for example, if you're to purchase something or you're to take this new job or you're to take this new position, the peace of God will let you know if you need to do that. And let me tell you, if there is no peace there, do not take the position, do not take the job, don't buy the car, don't buy the house. But if the peace is there, you do it. Let the peace of God rule in your life like an umpire or a GPS device. Here's the definition of peace. It means literally or figuratively prosperity. Folks, let me just tell you, peaceful people, and I'm talking more spiritually, but I am talking naturally too, are more prosperous. People are just all the time just If they are prosperous, they could be 10 times as prosperous if they'd find the peace of God. The peace of God should rule our hearts. It means quietness. It means rest. Literally, when Peter is speaking this, he's saying, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in quietness. In other words, all this turmoil is gone. I want you to rest. It means to be set at one again. When I have lost the peace of God, guess what? I feel scattered. I feel confused. I can even be angry. I can be upset. I can be in turmoil. But when I've got the peace of God, guess what? I feel set at one again. One. That's what the peace of God is. And he says we are to search for it and we are to work to maintain it. Our peace starts with our relationship with God. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been made right in the sight of God by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Where does peace start? Peace starts with our relationship with God. If you don't know God, where's the starting place? You come to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you believe that He is the answer. He is the salvation that God has provided for you. Now, peace is maintained by allowing the Holy Spirit full access into our lives. Here's what Romans 8 and 6 says. So letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. There's that death word again. If you insist on letting, or you feel caught in the trap of letting your sinful nature control you, guess what? There's going to be death there. There's always going to be problems. There's always going to be issues. But he said, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I want peace today. I want peace. How many of you know Jesus is referred to as the Prince of Peace? You invite Jesus into your life, you're inviting the Prince the author, the creator of peace. And finally, peace rules the kingdom of God. If you're a child of God, guess what? You have peace that is available to you according to Romans 14 and 17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but living a life." In other words, it's not about things. It's not about material things, but a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what God wants in your life. Peace and joy. And the King James says, righteousness. That's what God wants you to have. And he says this, if you want happiness, pursue peace. Pursue it. And then, let me be very clear. The devil is out to disrupt your peace. I know I don't have to tarry on that point very long. How many of you ever had your peace disturbed? How many had your peace disturbed while you were trying to get ready to come to church? How many of you had your peace attempted at it to disrupt it while you were at church? Come on, let's be real. Only the spiritual ones are going, no, not me. The falsely spiritual ones, no, not me. I never walk in here but what the devil's not trying to disrupt my peace. Ever. And that's the reason I covet people's prayers before a service. Hey, you don't come talk about these things and how to have a happy life and talk about happy days and enjoyable days and the devil just sit back and twiddle his thumb and say, well, I think I'll just let him get up there and let them all get inspired. Folks, sometimes we need to recognize why the turmoil starts at home, maybe on Saturday evening or whenever you're getting ready to go to church. You need to recognize that. The devil is out for your peace. Beloved, if you want to have happy days and an enjoyable life, you're going to have to do it God's way. And how many of you know that God knows best? How many of you remember the program? I'm kind of going old school today. Father Knows Best. Now, even that one was before my time. Father Knows Best. Number one, you have to keep your tongue from speaking evil, and you can't tell lies if you want happy days. Number two, you have to turn away from evil and do good. You make a choice. I'm going to turn away from evil by God's help and by God's grace. How many of you know the word grace means enablement? The grace of God will enable you when the unbeliever can't find the enablement. You've got it. You can have it. And you make a choice. And number three, you search for peace and you work to maintain it. Now, don't tune me out yet. Come on, tell your neighbor, don't tune him out yet. He's not through. I'm almost through. And I'm going to tell you, Peter gave us a great promise in this verse. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12 says this, and I'm telling you, this is it's become a revelation to me. And I want it to be life-giving to you today. It says, "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right. And His ears are open to their prayers." Jim, I'm going to need you in just a moment here. But listen to this. "But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil." I'm not saying every time you mess up or sin, God turns His back on you. Come here, Jim. Right there. Come right here. Don't turn towards me. You're acting like Adam and Eve now, turning away from me. I talked about Adam and Eve last week. But let me tell you something. Your heart is set on doing what God wants you to do. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about a heart for God. Let me tell you what you've got. You don't have a judging father looking at you. You have His eyes on you. He's watching your path. And He's happy for you. And He's looking at the blood of Jesus and He's looking at the cross and realizing Jim doesn't have it all together, but he's getting there. And that's where my son Jesus comes in. But He's got a heart for me. I've got my eye on this boy, this man, and his family, and his children, and his wife, and that precious little Anna. Got my eyes on them. Not in a harsh way, not in a judging way. And, oh, they're praying now. My ear. What was that, Jim? Yes. I hear you, Jim. I hear you, Pamela. Andrew, Samuel, I hear you. Thank you, Jim. Got my eyes on you. And my ear is attuned to your prayers. Some of you are thinking, I've been praying about it. I know I'm right with God, and I've been praying some things a long time and hadn't come to pass. Okay, give God some time. God's usually working something in us when we don't realize it. And I'm telling you, you'll tune your heart to Him today. Guess what? Get His eyes on you. He's looking at you. He's watching your pathway. He's helping you. Oh, they're going a little to the left. I better help them here just a little bit. Go right over here, Jim. Go this way. Yeah, that's it. That's it, son. That's it. What was that? You need provision? No problem. I own it all. Wall Street doesn't own it all. Italy, though they're having problems, they don't own it all. And by the way, though America is prosperous, they don't own it all, son. I remind you, I own it. And I own the billionaires, and I own the trillionaires, and all the other stuff. What was that you needed? Okay, we'll go to work on that. But he says to those who choose evil, this is what they get. And again, I think the reference here is people who blatantly refuse God, which we're seeing a lot of today. Here's what they get. They get the backside of God. Now, I don't see what you want me to see. I can't see what you want me to see because you're wanting your way and my blessings. I can't see that. I can't see. And I can't hear. I think I hear someone calling, but they want their way and they're ignoring me and they're not doing what they need to do, so I can't hear. I want to hear, but I can't hear. It's choice. God loves us, folks. There's one other thing God's saying. Will you say it, son, today? See, our failure is to understand. You may be thinking, and I don't know who this is for. Hey, everything's going great right now, man. I mean, it's happening. God is blessing right and left. And yet you know, and I don't know if I'm speaking to anyone here, that I got some real issues and God's told me to do something but I hadn't done anything about it. Let me tell you, the misunderstanding is it could be the goodness of God pursuing you to say, son, daughter, please see my goodness not as a giving a license to this, but an understanding I'm pursuing you with my goodness. Please recognize. Did you know that's God's initial way in which He reaches out to us? Through His goodness. Let's pray this morning. Amen. Here's what I believe as you're standing this morning about everyone hearing me today. I believe we're making a choice to do good. And I'm going to pray for the enablement of God's grace to be on your life today. Amen. And I believe God has authorized me to do that. That His goodness and His grace be upon you right now. Amen. Lou, the goodness and the grace of God be upon you right now for the trying of your faith. Lou, I'm telling you, I'm speaking right now. You will overcome this disease in Jesus' name. You will. And I don't speak words like that unless I firmly believe that I'm speaking to you. So there may still be some dark days, and there may be some days that seem like you're going up and down. Fred, that's for you too. Amen. You won't be losing your beloved if you'll depend on the grace of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray right now, Lord, for your grace to be sufficient in every one of our lives. Father, right now, I know there are people who need jobs, and it's real. And they need promotion, and it's real. And they need your blessing, and it is real. There are some, I'm speaking, literally need your health to begin to flow in their blood veins and in their bodies. And I pray the grace of God would fill them now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you would just now reach out with me in agreement that the grace of God is going to be on your life. Come on, how many of you are with me? Now your part is, I've got faith because I knew what I was going to preach, and God has put faith in my heart and increased it as I've been preaching to you. But now your part now is you've got to let your faith be activated. You've got to step in there and believe what Jesus says. As we sing the song, we got to believe the report of the Lord. You believe God is going to provide for you? He is. You believe God's going to heal you? You believe God's going to save your relatives? I believe He is. He's going to do everything He can to do that. May the grace of the Lord be upon you today. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the grace of the Lord be upon His people. Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, whether we feel it or not, Lord, let it be different. The grace of the Lord is upon us, and we receive it by faith. Now, how many of you just lift a hand up to the Lord? Just lift a little wave up to the Lord and say, I got it, Lord. I got it, Lord. I choose right living today, and I can do it. Come on, talk to yourself. Say, I can do this. I can do this. I'm an overcomer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Come on, turn to somebody and say, the grace of the Lord is on you.